Welcome to all those who have attended the City of Tukwila Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee meeting. I'm Tosh Sharp, and I'm joined by Councilmember Kay Kruller. Today's Monday, December 4th, and it's about 5:30. There's no presentations, but we do have several items on the business agenda, which is starting with A, which is the authorized the mayor to receive a grant from the Department of Homeland Security, Mr. Bush, after his briefing. The idea is to forward this to the 12/11/2023 special consent agenda. Mr. Bush, when you're ready.
Thank you. So the Department of Homeland Security put together grant funds for cybersecurity for municipalities. It's administered through the state of Washington. So we applied for $82,000 and we received it. There's no match. The three things we'd like to focus on these funds with is VR planning, business impact analysis, multi-factor authentication for staff that don't have city-provided cell phones, so we'll have USB tokens. And then we'd like to do a cybersecurity incident response plan. So those are the three things we'd like to focus on with this funds. There's no match required. The only indirect cost would be staff time. So asking this to be forwarded to the consent on the December 11th special meeting. Any questions?
Councilmember Kruller.
Yeah, I'm down with all of this. This is good. We encounter MIs all the time. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you to have a chit chat with King County Sheriff's Office because mm-hmm. they really tighten things up and it'd be kind of cool with the checklist. I don't know if this is going to cover just the basic staff workforce or if it covers fire and police. Well, not fire anymore, I guess. Well, at least emergency management, police, and all those.
Yes.
But if I say that, you know, you're like, I do this for a living, and geez, Kate, you know, I would really encourage you because there was holes you could drive a truck through, mm-hmm. and they're all showing up down. So
yeah,
we spent a lot of money on it. So it might be good to just kind of have that person benchmarked on this way.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a component of this. And one of the things I'm looking to do as we do our business impact analysis and DR plan is looking what happens in the worst case. Say we lose City Hall or the Justice Center. How much would it cost for us to recover in the cloud? So I'm hoping to use this exercise as, you know, getting a big picture of like what the cost would look like if we want that type of infrastructure to recover in the cloud in the worst case.
When I work for the state, we actually have an offsite like in a completely different state mm-hmm. where we can do from ground up restart, but we also have one down in seems like it was Federal Way. We wanted to share with you those facilities as well as far as starters procedures that they have if you're interested.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Meanwhile, this is like, I'm elated that this is happening. I'm glad we got the money.
Thank you.
So as far as the three projects you want to address, is that and to completion, is the money that's there, will it allow you in your estimation to complete these three tasks?
Yes, it should, but we're talking about offsite recovery. I wouldn't have funding for that. Through this exercise, I feel if we want that capability, this is the rough estimate of what it's going to cost. That we'll be able to get there because we did our business impact analysis and we looked at all of our infrastructure holistically, reviewed all of our contracts to make sure they align to our risk posture. So we're doing the legwork with this.
So for citywide multi-factor authentication, what is that exactly? What's the finished product look like?
The finished product, some folks have it now to where when you log into your Office 365, you're asked to, just like your bank, they prove it's you, put in the number that's shown on the phone, and then we'll let you log in.
So that ability would be in place once you've completed that portion of work, is that right?
Yeah, it should be. So we'll be buying the hardware tokens with this. So what we're doing now internally, so we monitor internal threats. We test our employees to see how we're doing and where the training needs are. And we're doing MFA deployment based on risk, so like who's giving up their credentials. That's how we're doing it now. But I'd like to be in a spot where everyone has MFA. And for those that don't have a city provided cell phone, there's going to be an opportunity to have a USB token that they can plug into their device to send it securely.
So that sounds like a piece of equipment.
Yeah, it is a piece of equipment.
Okay, and then that's issued to folks or it's built into the wall somewhere? Is that what you're
saying? It's issued to folks. So they'd have it on their lanyard with their badge.
And that there's enough funding to make sure that everyone that needs it gets one.
Yes, for those that don't have a city-issued cell phone.
And then next year or 5 years from now, do we need to put more money into this other than maintenance of, let's say, the car or the piece of equipment? Once you have these three things in place, is that we have it now or is there an ongoing cost?
I haven't looked at the exact the life of these things, but I think they'd be good for 3 years. Okay. I'm hoping that as MFA becomes so ubiquitous and like your banks don't trust us anymore. I just hope people get to a spot like it's okay to use MFA on your personal phone.
And then as far as the funding, you're saying this this pays for staff time. Yes?
No, it does not pay for staff time. Okay. This pays for resources to augment our staff. So consulting time to help build the DR plan.
Okay, so some of the money is used to pay somebody else to do some of this work for us.
Yes, but when it comes to understanding our infrastructure and going through it with a fine tooth, seeing which piece of our infrastructure doesn't need to be backed up, that's going to be internal staff.
Okay, and then you're able to fit that within the current workload of your staff as you see it today.
Well,
will staff have to come in off hours too?
They won't come in off hours to do this, but we'd have to fit this onto their the work plan for 2024.
Okay.
And this would be a security as a priority.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
Okay. Is there a consent for this?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Good enough.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a good one. Business agenda item B, ecology ramp litter cleanup program grant acceptance by Ms. Minion. After her briefing, we will see if we can forward this to the 12/11/2023 special consent agenda. When you're ready.
Hi, I'm Colleen Minion. I'm a solid waste analyst within Public Works and here to talk about the grant that we wrote for ecology, and they have a ramp litter cleanup program, and it's designed to assist county, cities, and towns with the cost of litter cleanups on interstates, state routes, or U.S. highway ramps, interchanges, and intersections in their jurisdiction. So we applied for it, and we were granted $60,000 to be able to clean up, and make sure I have the right number of ramps. 26 ramps, and the goal is to clean up each ramp one time every quarter at the minimum. And it is $60,000, and there is no match required for the grant.
Money in our pocket. I'm glad this is happening. I question underneath the I-5. Where we always seem to have collector-distributor issues with water, and it really belongs, if I remember right, to BLASDOT.
Yeah.
Will this help that?
No, these are two separate issues.
So closely to off-ramp or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
But David is here to explain where we clean. We already clean this. We already attend to this because we do get calls on... from our residents, and we do this, so it's kind of like we're going to get compensated for work we're already doing, but David has details.
Yeah, the street department, we've kind of already came up with a plan on how we're going to attack this. We're going to try to set up our signs so on both sides of the road to make sure they know that we're out there and using arrow boards and using buffer trucks. And we're going to try to blow the litter out in the road and sweep it up so we have less liability of somebody getting hurt or injured out there with those higher speeds. And that way it will also sweep up the rocks and everything that's on there. We drive by them all the time and we see them, and this fits right into what we do. We want to make the city look good. So
nice.
This is a good step.
So you're going to close the ramps to do this, but it would take, you're going to do this while the ramps open.
Yes, but we're going to give enough warning and slow them down enough before they get out there that we can safely work.
Okay. That's all I have.
As far as when you do your work, is that during the day or the night?
Day.
Okay.
And we'll try to do it in the off hours of traffic.
What's off hours?
Well, it'll probably be more like 9 to 2.
Okay, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. So that's when folks will see you out there.
Yeah.
And then, like, how far does $60,000 carry you? I don't know. Like, you're already doing this work. Because do you do this work anyway, and you only knock it out twice a year, and this makes it double that, or you're knocking it out 3 times a year, you hit that ramp 3 times a year, and now it's 4? How does that work?
So right now, we don't go onto the state ramps other than when we get an issue, and we can't get the state out there. The state won't come out
right
to clean up their ramps. So for us to go out there, it's just going to make the city look better.
Sure.
Because we're going to clean it up. And
so it's something you don't generally do unless there's some significant problem.
Right. And that's what the $60,000 could help with is seasonal employees.
Uh-huh. So they're for additional staff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good. So I have a couple other questions. Do we have consent to send this to the 12/11 special consent agenda?
Consensus, yes.
Perfect. Nailed it, man. Go out there, get it done. Green River Trail Connector contract award to Active Construction Incorporated. Miss Knighton.
Yes.
And I'll finish setting it up for you. Don't worry. And the idea is this will be forwarded to the 12/11/23 special consent agenda, please.
Yeah, you've got a really busy December 11th special consent agenda.
Yeah.
Wow, it would be the end of the year, isn't it? I have talked to you guys forever about the Spring River Trail Connector project, and we got some grant funding, some Transportation Alternative Program grant funding to pay for the construction. And we opened bids last Tuesday, and I'm very happy to say we had 7 bids come in, which hasn't necessarily been the best bidding climate, but we had 7 come in, 2 were below our engineer's estimate, and our apparent low bid came in from Active Construction Incorporated, ACI, as they go by in their shortened version. So they've done some work for us before. They're a good firm. We've gone through all of the debarment checks and everything that is required because, well, we want to do that anyway, but especially because this has got federal funding on it. One thing that I didn't know before this was turned over for production was that WashDOT still has to approve the bids before we can formally award. So I'm still wanting to move this forward because we definitely have been told we need to get this project at least awarded this year, not constructing this year. And I certainly request a WashDOT to hurry up with their review and approval. It shouldn't be difficult because it's not in a state highway or anything. But I'm thrilled to be able to say that we came in under budget and we'll be able to get this connection, about 700 lineal feet of connection done next year. And that's going to be that final connection on that whole Malta station connection that has been a city policy. It was part of the South Center Subarea Plan. It's been part of the long-term planning that started with our Click-A-Tap project, with our Transit Center project, with our Baker Boulevard project, with our pedestrian bridge project, is our West Valley Highway project that is nearing completion. This is the last bit of that large picture of providing all sorts of transportation alternatives and connections across that north part of the Tupelo Urban Center. Any questions?
Councilmember Curlin. Hi. You'll see this coming around. I hope Washington State doesn't block you. Legally speaking, does our attorney approve of the process of the selection that you use
the standard federal process. So the attorney doesn't have to
weigh in on that one. I see you have it's the dotted rule.
That's that dotted connection.
Uh-huh. That's at one point they were looking at going behind those buildings closer to the shore. But how's it worked that out with the businesses?
Well, that's the existing trail that's out there today.
Oh, okay.
But it's only an 8-foot wide trail.
Yeah.
And so because of the pedestrian bridge and the hawk signal that may be turning on here in a week or so, we still have to wait for WatchDOT approval on that one. And hopefully this more east-west connection. We wanted to widen this section of the trail to allow for both the recreational users, the commuter users that are north-south, and then those east-west, because that's where that kind of confluence of both direction traffic is. And so this will be widening that trail out to a 12-foot wide trail. We'll have shoulders. We're going to really increase the lighting out there. The only thing that's out there is some private lights that the Riverview Plaza has out there. So we're installing new lighting. We will install CCTV. We could also eventually install the CCTV on the bridge. And we couldn't do that when we did the bridge construction because the connection to that has to come from the Baker Boulevard side or the Christiansen Road side.
So the proprietors that own the buildings there might be happier because it may be more security in the future when you get the CCTV going on.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And especially just that additional lighting because it is very dark this time of year when it's out there. So.
Well, I can't believe I remember sitting there watching Dennis think whether or not we should even bother with the bridge way back when. So it's nice to see this is going to kind of come to fruition. Sounds like you're going for all the right steps. You're not nervous about Washington State double checking? Good.
No. They just have to go through and make sure that we've done our bid tab correctly and that ACI, I'm not really sure why they have to do it because we have to send in a certified bid tab, but it's their rules and I just have to play by them.
Okay. We've had fits and starts with some of the construction estimates we have, but I'm hoping the path is an easy one.
I'm hoping. I mean, our engineer's estimate was, and I think I had put it down here where I could actually read them on, I don't know if you guys got a larger version.
Microfiche, yeah.
Yeah. It's designed to print on 11 by 17, but you know, our engineer's estimate was 1,043,000 and ACI's bid came in with 1,020,000, so it's already 23,000 less than the engineer's estimate. So, yeah, and our second low, which is road construction, and they're the ones doing the West Valley Highway project, was just $1,000 under the engineer's estimate. So I think that we had several bids that were right in that same kind of period that we should be okay. But, again, it's construction and yeah. Stuff happens.
ACI pretty good for not having lots of changeovers?
Well, the last project that they had is the project that you don't want to mention in the 42nd Avenue project. But that project was really sad with a lot of
problems. Yeah, that's the one where you dug down deep and then there's all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, but ACI's been around a long time. They are a good firm and they do good work. And 42nd Avenue project was just an anomaly with a lot of bad situations. So.
It's not like building part of a bridge, taking it out and trying to walk away from it.
No, no.
Okay. I'm
in. If there's cameras, at some point there will be cameras, yes?
Yes.
And then who monitors those cameras?
Well, that is a good question internally. Typically what we have done is provide that feed to the police department. Now, whether they have somebody actively monitoring them, I don't believe that they do. But we do have equipment which we can record where they can use it. And they've certainly done that with other CCTV that we have throughout the city. And many years ago, right after we started putting up cameras on some of our signals, and some of it was the PTZ cameras that we can use for video detection, but the police were able to access those. And they were able to track down, I think it was somebody who robbed one of the hotels on West Valley Highway. So, again, I don't believe that they actually have active people sitting there watching, but we have the capacity to give them the rights to move these in. And I believe these are going to be the same PTZ, which is pan, tilt, zoom cameras, so they can use them and we can record as well.
Very good. Do we know how, I mean, I'm not going to put you on the spot because that's probably their equipment, but do we know how long they record? Like the duration.
I think they're continuous, and I
sure,
think that our system, I think our system will at least hold on to stuff for at least 2 weeks.
Oh, good.
And it could be longer, but that's last I knew, and that's the information.
It's good enough. Okay, well, I'm in consensus of that. I support the project moving forward. Is that consensus? Yeah. Okay, very good.
Right. Thank you.
Nice work. Thank you. That brings us to business agenda item D, West Valley Highway, I-405, Strander Boulevard, supplemental agreement number 4.
She's not doing number 4?
It's not. I get it. Oh, I thought you should.
I'm still here.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Please, after your briefing, we'll forward this to the 12-11-23 special consent agenda, please.
Okay, so I mentioned the West Valley Highway project that is nearing construction or completion of construction. We've had a lot of challenges with that one, and most of them have been with long lead items that are just still the continuing remnants of the COVID supply chain disruption and so forth. And because West Valley Highway is a state highway, we've also had some challenges with getting WashDOT to approve and bless some of the things that we are doing out there. They will actually take over ownership of the new Hawk signal. So they own and control all the signals that are out there. We've also had some challenges with Puget Sound Energy. They've done a lot of reorging in their organization, and they've just not been as responsive as I have traditionally had when I've worked with Puget Sound Energy. So we've had, this project was originally intended to be completed and closed out last year. A year ago, but starting with the signal poles and the streetlight poles that our contractor just simply couldn't get, and they didn't even come in until January or maybe February of this year, it's been a challenge. So what we have before you is a supplemental agreement with Trantech Engineering. They are the engineer of record and are also doing the construction management for us. They've obviously had much more time doing construction management because of this extension as we've been trying to get these poles, Puget Sound Energy Connection, and WashDOT approval. So what this is for an additional $59,520 to help them pay for all of this extra time that they have had to put into the construction management. So these funds are going to come out of the budgeted contingency. So there will be some contingency changes coming out of the construction once we get through all of the change orders, when we start working into closeout. But I don't believe we're going to exceed this contingency amount that's available for the construction, which includes construction management. And a lot of this is going to be grant funded. And I was actually talking with Katrine, who is the one who left earlier today, about I kind of want more of this money to go to one of the grants versus the other, because most of it has been tied in with that, and that grant doesn't have any match, and we have a lot of money left over. So we're really trying to do our best as far as managing the funding, keeping this project going. I'm not going to get this thing completely closed out this year, but hopefully it'll be closed out next year, and this will just simply cover the cost of the additional construction management time we have with the team itself.
Okay. Questions, Councilmember Perula?
We have a wrap and flash crosswalk. Is that what I see in there?
There is an RRSP on Long Acres Way at the intersection of Long Acres and the Inner Urban Trail. And so that has not yet been turned on, nor has the street lighting, because we're waiting on Puget Sound Energy to come in and set the meter and the vault for the power there.
Got it.
Okay.
And I'm hearing grants partially will cover some of this.
Yes, we have two grants that are out there. One of them is through the Transportation Improvement Board, and the other is from Sound Transit through their System Access Fund.
So the budget's available for the increase through remaining construction contingency, which is partially reimbursable through the two grants, yep. But not all of it.
The TIV has a match of roughly 40, maybe 42%, and the System Access Fund has no match.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to allocate most of this to the System Access Fund, just simply because most of the delays have been around the portion of the project that are funded by the System Access Fund.
Okay. I'm in support. Thanks.
How much have we paid these this engineering firm already?
Oh, that is a good question. They did the design, and they've done all of the construction management to date. So their total contract amount will be for a little over $1.3 million for all of this effort. And so we've probably paid close to that, less than 59 that we're talking about. I haven't seen that we're out of money in their budget, but there's all this extra time. So.
Well, what I'm asking is, I guess what I'm getting to is, mm-hmm. if we know what we're going to pay them, how do they know that they're on, they're over budget for $59,520? I could see if we paid them all that and they're like, hey, there's some extra things and it's going to cost us about $60,000 to get those knocked out. What, how did they come up with that number?
Well, they're probably coming up with it the same way that they come up with the number of hours that are needed to do the construction management or the design. They have, you know, formulas and history on what level of effort is required for certain types of jobs. And sometimes we don't make it, which is why then we have the supplemental agreements that we come forward. But their estimates just simply aren't quite enough. And because we have more time that's being spent and will continue to be spent into next year, that's where they came up with that, you know, shy of $60,000 for the supplement.
So next year or the year after, when they're close to getting done, will they come back to us and say it's going to cost a little bit more money?
Hopefully not.
Okay, but they can't. So they can't. Say, well, you know, it's going to, we need a little bit more money.
Yes.
So what's the protections the city gets for, let's say, not this particular engineer or this contract group, mm-hmm. for nickel and dime in the city?
Well,
to get to the end.
Yeah.
We have sort of money spent, and we're sort of committed. And so we're kind of in a tough spot. We can tell them no, but then they won't give us anything. What do we do to fix that?
So, council member, one of the things with our consultants is we ask them as they get towards the end of the project to keep good tabs on the expenditure and give us a heads up when they're going to exceed. So they come to us, they give us 30 days to review their proposal. And this is one of the efforts. They have calculated that the remaining work takes X number of hours and it costs them so many dollars. And one of the things we can do and we have done in the past is we have said, okay, you are going to end the project right here. We don't need any more of your construction management. We're going to employ our own staff. And so we have done that to cut costs. Or we have said, we'll take this portion of the work out of yours. So these are professionals and there's a professional courtesy of them giving us a heads up. And we do work with them, but that's sort of how these things work. This is slightly different than a construction contract where you still have construction work to be done. That is something only contractor can do. In those cases, city has to continue paying those. So it's slightly different when it comes to the professionals.
Sure. I'm not trying to pick on TransTech. I'm just saying this is we're not clear on what we've paid them already. We could have 1.1 million already paid with a couple hundred thousand still yet to be paid. And if we still owe them money and then them saying, hey, oh, by the way, we want $60,000 more. The question is naturally, well, how'd you come up with that? We haven't paid you everything yet.
Right. Yeah. And it is somewhat of an art form, but it's also part of the role of the project manager. In this case, I'm managing the construction. Then I have to also be taking a look, and I sign off on every time they submit an invoice once a month and monitor, and they are getting low. So I think that they have nearly expended what they have, and knowing what is still left to do and the amount of time that it's going to take to provide that construction management support, to get all of these things that are yet to be completed, to complete out the punch list, to complete out all of the project closeout. That's where they've estimated their number of hours. And you can sort of see some of it on their Exhibit A, which is on page 71 of this document, where they're talking about just a summary. And unfortunately, we don't have the total breakdown like we would do in one of our contracts if we're using them, because there is some federal money in this project. So we have to use federal forms. But you'll see in the supplement number 4 where they kind of break it down. So they've got, you know, $19,700 for the direct salaries. They've got their overhead, their non-salary direct costs, which is like mileage reimbursement and so forth. And then their fixed fee. So it's not that many hours that they're asking for, and they don't have to use them all up. But just as like they don't have to use them up, if we come out and find, say something blows up, it shouldn't at this point. But we may have to come in with the change. But it's part of my job on this one is to also work on cost control.
Sure. And then it was mentioned that in the event that the city decides to go in a different direction, mm-hmm. What protections do we have as far as getting the completed work? They could just give us a sheet of paper and say that's all we done.
They could, but it's unlikely because they want to continue working for us, and they are actually working with us on the 42nd Avenue Bridge Replacement Project. So okay. It behooves them to, you know, play nice in the sandbox, if you will.
All right. You have consensus to send that to?
We do.
Okay. Nice work.
We're a team, man.
That brings us to the last agenda item, which is E, which is the Neighborhood Traffic Calming Program year-end report, and you're up again, and this is information only.
Yeah, so you can imagine the last couple of weeks for me trying to prepare all of these things has been a little crazy trying to get all of this done at the year-end night. Yeah, another Cindy dog and pony team. Okay, so you are well aware of our neighborhood traffic calming program. And as I had mentioned last time when I was here, that I wanted to bring forward just kind of a what have we done this year? We haven't done as much as we would have liked to. The position that was primarily working on this was Scott Bates. And of course, he's since retired and that position is currently frozen. So myself and Josh Hartley, when he was here, we would kind of pick at this program as when we could. But we've still managed to move a lot of things forward. And I'm very pleased and proud to say that we didn't completely drop this program. We just didn't use as much of it as we would like to have. So what I wanted to do was just kind of give you guys a big overview on what it was that we had accomplished. And my document here is falling apart. So in 2020, we came forward to council when there was that ARPA funding that was coming forward, and we said, look, if you would give us money for the traffic calming program, here's the top 10 list of projects that we want to be able to commit to saying that we are going to use this funding for. And so we had $100,000 that came in late 2020. We just bought equipment. We got LED flashing signs. We got some, you know, portable, the little rubberized seat cushions and so forth. And so I had developed this table where I talked about all of these projects that we recommended moving forward based on, you know, current needs that were being brought forward. And a lot of that is the Allentown stuff where there was just all of these just really dramatic needs for safety improvements. We also took a lot of these from current complaints that we have. We've got a long list. I'm not sure how many are on it, but just kind of going through it and saying, yeah, we're repeatedly seeing types of things here. I know Councilmember Kroller, you were thrilled when we were trying to be proactive around some of the schools, and so we've got three schools on here. So some of these projects we completed last year or nearly completed last year, and I just kind of wanted to walk through what it is and where we're at. And we're not completely through with all of these projects, but we're very close. So I just kind of want to walk down through the list of what we have. So the Allentown Neighborhood Project. So we had put in there, we wanted to do a study. What can we do? And studies are not very exciting because you're not actually seeing physical things out there, but we have to start with a study. So we completed that study last year, and we have gone and we've actually started some implementation. As you know, we've gone after some grant funding. Haven't necessarily been successful on all of them, but we did get grant funding to install that new pedestrian crossing on a 42nd and 119th by the Ped Bridge. I think we're close to closing that project out. I think the RRSB maybe has turned on. Harry, have you heard anything?
No, it's not on.
Okay, yeah. Last I knew, we were still waiting.
It looks like it's there, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, no, and I know they're really close. So, but that will be turned on very soon. And, of course, last year we put in the two RRSBs on 124th down by the TCC. So we got a lot more things that were identified on what we can do. And so we have plans to move forward. And so I'm going to say, check, we have accomplished our goals on that one. We've done a study. We've identified some needs. We're continuing to look at options that are out there, and we've done some physical improvements. Have we done everything that needs to be out there? No. But
so can we just take this one at a time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Check on forward progress.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to say check, it's done, and put it in the
definitely here. Not done.
Literally had a resident describe how he and his daughter almost died in the RRFB crossing. I think we ought to get some serious consideration of putting speed bumps around that. Just a little, I don't care if you do concrete or asphalt ones or other ones. But they are coming down 124th at very high speeds.
Right.
Regardless, and he literally thought they were going to die. And the guy was really offensive and rimmed his engine on the way past the whole nine yards.
Right.
It's like,
unfortunately,
it's like a human target sitting there.
Yeah. And there are going to be those people that we simply can't engineer our way out of. And that's really more of an enforcement, because I really strongly do not recommend speed cushions on 124th right now with all of the big trucks that are going through. It is going to be loud and you're going to have lots of angry people because these large trucks are going to be constantly going up and over and banging and crashing. And I think that would actually be a mistake. But there are other things that we can do that aren't going to create that massive noise. So, no, we have not completed everything that needs to be done in Allentown, but we have completed the goals we set out, and we have done our study, and we've started some forward progress and implemented.
Right. I was fine there. Before you just cross off speed bumps, could we make it a subject at an Allentown meeting and see whether they prefer noise of trucks or speed of trucks coming at them when they're trying to cross the street, just before we just decide that's not a possibility for them? Because I'm very worried about, and they are too, about human beings being out there with their defenses, and whether it's cars or trucks coming at them at high speeds, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
No guarantees. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Second thing is, I have not looked at it yet, but I'm starting to get feedback from, is there some kind of fencing reinforcement that was done at the end of the Fed bridge? Right next to the big, large speed bump on 42nd?
I don't believe so. I haven't been working on that one.
Okay.
I would have to look into that.
I got to go drive down and look at it, too. But there's some kind of fence. At first, I thought maybe you guys put some industrial-strength railing there to protect in case the car rolled off towards the river off the speed bump.
Yeah. I don't remember
seeing people are feeling like that. The feedback I'm getting, again, I haven't seen it, is that it restricts the ability of people to get on the bridge.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. On the far side, you used to have that zigzag thing.
Yeah, there
I
was.
I used to pick my bike up and set it on the other side and ignore it.
There was a motorcycle. A guy with dirt motorcycle was getting on the pedestrian bridge.
Okay.
So when we got the call 3 years ago.
That's when you put the motorcycle
back
again?
Scott Bates must have
They're there. Used to that. So I don't know if you guys have changed it, reinforced it, done something to it.
I'll take a look at it, but that's when
I don't know which side of the bridge. I just know they're mad about it.
Yeah,
I thought it was on the side where the speed bump was, because
it's possible because the ADA, there was a request about ADA.
Okay.
I think there was a guy in wheelchair that wants to go on it, so I think staff may have looked at that and widened it. So
if it makes it better, so be it.
I remember.
I'm just getting adverse reactions, and I like, when I go by at night, I'm not thinking, look at the bridge and the railing. I'm looking at the bump and the flash thing.
Right.
Apparently, there was a guy in wheelchair, and the passersby had to lift him, put him on the bridge because he couldn't get through.
Okay.
And that's when the contractor made recommendation.
And I could work on better details on whatever.
It
always comes through, and it's multiple people saying, what is it there for? And do you realize it was these adverse?
Right. I mean,
I don't know. I haven't seen it. Okay.
And it could be something that's temporary for the construction, too.
I'll take a look at it. But I mean, it's usually when you try to help somebody, you're involved with other people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Moving on to the school. So.
And before we move on, I think in Allentown, one of the biggest things we wanted to do was the overall city, actually, we want to reduce the speed.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, 25, right? Okay.
That's one of the top 10 on here.
Yes, that's one of the things. Yeah. And that should calm traffic throughout the city, but it takes a little bit of effort from our side and staff time, so we're waiting for that.
I know Vic, the PIO, has been putting up the reports on Facebook of his. At one point, he was down there, and in all the sweet spots they want to take care of. So, you guys are passing the Pied Piper right now.
Mm-hmm.
Take him to the game. He's just absolutely adored. But he was sensing and being in the right places and getting feedback from people as well. And they were really thrilled he was down there.
Yeah. And we're definitely hearing citywide about complaints of speeding increasing. And we just haven't had as much enforcement with the traffic enforcement. It's just, yeah, it's, yeah.
Come on, what's wrong? There's the speed bumps everywhere. Okay. Schools?
Schools. So we've broken this out on this list. So we have B and D, so which are the two public elementary schools, and that's Tuckwell Elementary and Cascade Elementary. So we do have some final draft, however you want to call it, studies that were developed based on some findings that the engineers at KPG had found, and after having some discussions directly with the administration at the individual schools. So this one is not completely done in that we just haven't had an opportunity to get them back to the schools and to sit down and talk with them and say, have we got everything right? But we will be following up and completing that next year, and hopefully bringing forward these final recommendations to the council so that we can start looking at, you know, what are we going to do, our steps. So at this point, we had put in, we wanted to do a study at these three schools to find out what is needed. And I think we've got some really good recommendations that have come out of this, but it's going to work best as a programmatic approach. So we'll have a better idea of what needs to be done, a better idea of cost for the implementation, and that's what these studies are for. And so when it comes to the Tuckwell Elementary and Cascade Elementary schools, coordination with the school district, it's just always a challenge, and staffing and so forth. So, but we've got the draft studies. They're mostly done. We just want to go back to the school one last time and say, are you good with this? Is this truly representative of addressing all of the concerns that you have raised? So we will be following up with that next year.
So before you move on from that, at Cascade, does any of your remedies include 136? My neighborhood says everybody's being straight up to sort of like the avoidance.
I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and look. It came
after that last block, 136 years ago, up to the school, like excessive speeds. The last time they complained, we put a police officer on a motorcycle up there. Mm-hmm. They proceeded to ticket every one of the neighbors who had the cars parked backwards on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And they proceeded to go get the state law that said, guess what, we get to when you don't have a full two lanes. So, but the whole thing was a moot point because they didn't deal with anyone. So they complained profusely. All 137th, 135th will say the same things, but it's really, really obvious up 136.
Right. Right. And I'll have to double check on that because I know there were some things, but I think at this point we're also very much focusing on the safety for the kids. Yeah. So there's definitely like some sidewalk ramps, that kind of stuff.
The crosswalks, so, the sidewalks, yeah. The improvements are grand. Same thing at Tuckell, the speeding down the street that parallels the one that makes the loop.
Mm-hmm.
I forget, is that one 58th? 57, 56?
I know, it's one of those.
Yeah.
It goes to
a dead end, and yeah. The kids at the block down to the school.
Yeah.
People just roar down that and roar right back up.
Right.
It's been going on for years, and they would just love anything.
Right.
His parents. They don't care.
And that
somebody's going to get killed.
Is universal. It is almost always predominantly the parents that the other parents are complaining about. where I worked before here, we had the same issue where, oh my God, all these people are speeding and it's chaos and they're parking and they're shoving their kids out as they slow down because they're late for work. And then these kids have to cross the street. And I had gone up and watched it. And it's all the parents are the ones that are
behaving badly. Yeah. Okay.
We know our enemy and it is us. Anyway, so we've separated out the Impact Charter School, which is still a school. So we do have a study on that one, but we've had tremendous challenges getting with them to talk with them. And I think a lot of it is, it's a different kind of school. So, but we did do some ADA and signage on 148 in 2022. And so we're going to continue trying to meet with them, but we again have a draft study, but we just haven't had as much coordination with them. But again, we collected our data and got an idea of what the issues are that are out there. So, you know, a near check on the three schools. But we'll continue on that one. So the TCC peg crossings, as we talked, we did install those two RRFBs on our 24th, and that was done in 2022.
So maybe talk to Allentown.
So McAdam Road South, the speed and safety improvements, and this is on the really twisty part of McAdam that's on the west side of I-5.
Where the guy just wipes out the mailboxes and pushed them all the way up to the driveway of the one house.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, but So I've had complaints on that for years. And quite honestly, I just had a conversation with Bryce at KBF or KBG last week. And the other people that are working on it. And they're like, we've really done a really good job on doing what we can. And so they are working on that study right now. And I said, we've got to come up with something, anything. And if there really is nothing else we can do, and then it's straight out enforcement, or if it's something big and dramatic, this is the time where we need to identify.
It's two lanes, right? Single lane.
Single lane in each direction. Yeah. But you've got horizontal and vertical curves.
Right.
And,
visibility is an issue.
Visibility is an issue in some portions of it, but it's also some straight shots. There's long stretches where there's no stops.
And it's where they're speeding.
They speed, then they take the corners, and then they can't pan.
Right.
Yeah.
So the first, if you're coming northbound on McAdam, you're coming from 130th.
Mm-hmm.
Nice straights away, I get their speed going. A road splits up a hill to a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that wedge in the road is about four or five houses, all fairly newly built. And they're in absolute terror because the way people take that curve, and literally when I went to visit them last, two years before I went by and we got the speed indicator, and it was helpful for a while until they figured out it wasn't going to tickets.
Yeah.
And then they got back up, the thing got moved to another place, and they had a vehicle, not negotiate the curve, took out, it's searchable if you go look at it, took out half of the mailboxes that were all in a row.
Right.
Fascinating how they did it. But, you know, that
and
part
ended up near 130%?
No, I can point it out on the map for you.
Okay.
Why don't we do that after the meeting?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, because then I can double check to make sure that they're aware that this was an issue. It's a weird road, and it's really challenging. You know, what can we put on this narrow road that twists and turns? It's kind of dark. That, you know, we've already put up chevron signs, we've put up warning signs, we've put up radar feedback signs. You know, it's like, what else can you do? Because
speed visions.
Well, and the speed cushions can't be a solution to everything. And when you're dealing with the horizontal and vertical curves, there are additional engineering things we have to look at. And so I've tasked them to say, see what we can do. Now, there isn't large volumes of traffic. And so it will also be a question that will come back and say, you know, okay, we have all of these things. It's going to be really expensive. And where in the priority is this going to be based on the volume?
We have a total vehicle up in someone's driveway with mailboxes wrapped around the fence.
So
that's got to have some exclamation point.
It does. It absolutely does.
Okay.
And it's not my decision on how we want to spend this money. This is where I'm going to be coming back to the council and saying, this is what we found. This is what we can do, and this is going to be the cost.
Let's do the study. And
The study will be coming back.
I'll point out where the houses are.
I appreciate that. So thank you. Okay, so South Center Boulevard, 65th Avenue, Pez Signal. Yay, we just got a TIB grant to pay for the construction. We got that last Friday. KPG is going to be starting the design once the contract is approved, and that's before council this evening. So, and I've already talked to Greg Armstrong at TIB and said, yeah, we're all going and we'll be constructing this in 2025. And he's like, excellent. We have this out on ad in November next year. And I'm like, that's my plan. So we didn't do as much of it with the traffic calming program because really we came down to the fact that we needed a signal and that's beyond a traffic calming program. But so we can check that one off in an odd way because we're not really addressing it.
And we also put flashing stop sign just down on 62. The complaints.
So they put that up last week. There should be a comparable on 65th. I haven't been there. And Tim Kirkland had said he's going to be installing new large radar feedback signs out here this week. So we have that, not really specific to this intersection, but yes, we're definitely doing that. So As Corey had alluded to, we have a citywide residential speed limit review, and that is a task that I have given to KPG. They are starting that right now, and we will be bringing forward that study to council next year, hopefully fairly early next year.
How's that working? Like in Tacoma, they implemented it nationwide. This is like everybody's doing it.
Yeah,
but I'm not hearing how like how well it works.
It's working well. I mean, Tacoma started, I think,
about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, October, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's actually some of their streets are the streets that I'm used to are steep, and so it works well there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I don't know how it works in the south part of Tacoma, where there are two lanes on each side, much larger streets. So I have to go there to see. But I usually come on the north end.
Okay, so, right. So check it out.
Yeah.
And City of Seattle did that. They reduced traffic, the speed limits throughout the city, and that was quite a few years ago. And I can tell you, I can drive certain streets in the city of Seattle that are posted at 25, and nobody's doing 25 on that.
Right.
So some of it also gets into an enforcement issue.
Yeah, it's an enforcement.
Yeah. But definitely we're taking a look. They're taking a look at how effective it has been and making some recommendations. So that is something that's underway right now.
Right. So, but just so that both of your council members know, that's a big, big issue for us. It's a big study. And once we get there, I'm sure there are going to be pro and cons, people that are going to come to you. So it's something I think it's important for the city.
Yeah. So that is, we'll be bringing that forward. You know, probably the recommendation is going to be to reduce residential streets to 20. I guess it seems to be pretty consistent with what we're seeing other jurisdictions do. And then we'll target more specifically arterial. So there's some that we can modify.
Okay.
Ryan Way, I have been asking to see what the preliminary design was that was developed, because that was done when Scott Bates was here and I haven't seen it. And KPG keeps forgetting to send it to me. So don't ask me detailed questions on what it is that's there. It is, however, primarily, my understanding, focused on pedestrian safety. That said, I actually have some traffic counts that are being ordered out there right now to kind of get an idea of speeds, because we do have that large vintage development that's coming in, and whether we need to put in a traffic signal and what else can be done. We've done a lot of looking at Ryan Way, as far as maybe doing some changes with the overlay program. But at this point, I don't have a whole lot to say, but we do have some preliminary designs, and I know that we're kind of waiting on funding.
This will be interesting. It's like REO Speed Racer in there.
Oh, it is.
He's had teams up there trimming trees, which I'm sure they noticed, just trying to get their vehicles in place. And actually foolishly tried to walk across the four lanes.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to get back.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it's rush hour, it's pretty frightening.
Yeah, it is.
Part of it is treated as freeway, but
And so I will have traffic counts that will really help kind of document and that I've ordered, and I would expect to see them coming in anytime.
Yeah.
So because I want to know, have that data to support so that we can start what we need to design to do out there. But so there has been some work, it just, I don't know what specifically there was. And then the last one on here is the 144th and 46th Avenue, the ADA ramps and the RRFB that we had built. And that was done last year, where we moved the RRFB slightly and put in the ADA ramps. And
we had to tear stuff out, put it back in, CLC light, all that stuff. And finally got it done.
Yes, it's done.
It seems to work well.
It does. And so for the most part, we've gotten through that top 10 list. There's been a little bit of smaller things that we've been able to squeeze in here and there. Most of it was when Scott was here in 2022 as far as some of the smaller sign requests. I've been able to do a little bit. I know Josh was able to do a little bit where we would put in a few sign requests. So unfortunately, we are a little limited because I just haven't had the time, and Josh and I, neither of us had a huge amount of time to dedicate to this. So. But we've made good strides, I think. And we're finished? No. The thing with traffic calming is you're never completely finished, because then something else happens. And that's why it needs to be back in action program. I'd love to be able to move this into a somewhat proactive program, but right now it's still primarily a reactive program.
Okay. My question is how do you get primarily, how do you get most of the feedback regarding locations like these? What's the primary source of your feedback?
We actually have several. In the past, we would just have people call in or send in emails, or we would hear directly from council members. Other city staff would hear from people come up talking and say, oh my God, this is dangerous. And then hopefully that would be passed on to myself or Scott Ace at the time. I don't remember when we implemented this. It was
2020.
I think it was before that. I think it was 2019 when, because that was the first year we had dedicated funding, 2019. So we implemented on the city's webpage a form that people could submit. So we get a lot that come in that way, but it doesn't mean that I'm not getting requests that come in, people giving me a call, again, council members coming and saying, other staff. We'll take requests any way that we can, that they do come in. It's not like we're restricting them to the website and submitting that. Although that's really helpful because then it asks for all of the contact information and details that make it helpful for us to monitor some.
Is there any consideration on putting this on some of those Facebook pages? Or because you've got a lot of work here. If this is available on a PDF for folks who actually live in these areas, they have to give you some additional feedback. Is this, if the answer is no, you could say no, but has there any thoughts on maybe putting that out there? Because, council members are great for feedback, but I don't live at all these locations, and the chances of me hitting every single one of those locations and meeting somebody that can identify the actual problem is even less likely unless they're trying to seek me out. So the idea being we want to get their feedback and we want to show them what the city has done. So is this available on Facebook or is it just primarily on our main website? And if it's on our main website, is it easy to find?
Good questions. I don't know how easy it is for people to find, simply because I'm not interacting with it from a perspective of a resident.
Sure.
But it is there and people find it pretty regularly.
Okay.
Is this summary of information on the webpage? I don't believe it is. As far as the Facebook, I think we can explore potentially putting that up. I don't.
If that's not something that staff is willing to do, that's okay. They can say they don't want to do that. That's okay.
Yeah,
my goal is to make sure that all your work is captured and then broadcast to the folks who actually have to pay for this. So
absolutely, yeah.
And then the last question is I haven't been up to Ryan Way, all parts of Ryan Hill, actually the hill. Are there any unpaved roads up there on Ryan Hill that you know of?
I think there are a couple. I know there's one for sure. It's a portion of it.
It's a dead end.
It's a dead end portion.
No residents on it. No houses on it.
No, there's one or two. I think there's. I know there's one at the base right where the pavement ends, and I think there's two. That are on the gravel part of it.
So how do citizens get their road, the handful are there, get their road paved? How would you recommend that?
I thought we actually were going to be putting some paving on there at one point as part of our overlay plan.
Public street, right?
It is a public street. It's a public right-of-way. And so we do maintain the gravel and keep that going.
Gravel is not the same as actual.
No, it's not.
There is no particular process in place for them to request the street to be paved. And we don't have them in our current CIP, but we could definitely take a look at it.
What you're saying is I need to bring it to you again and again and again. That's no problem.
Yeah,
okay, no problem. All right. So there's no other questions? Any other questions?
Nothing official.
Any miscellaneous? Okay, this meeting's adjourned at 6:28 p.m.